So I hope you guys have had a good time. I hope you've come to Eretz Yisrael for a few days. You have to do a bit of chapura on that. Okay. You don't have to answer this question, but you all davened this morning, right? I didn't have to answer. I'm not even talking to my guys. Okay, let me put it this way. You all said brachas this morning. You know, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shelo Asani Goyish, Ma'asi Ish, Shelo Asani.
Do we have to answer that one?
No, no. You've had the prize already, so you're not going to get anything yet. Ben, I need you. These guys are out of hand. I can't control them. No, did you say Shalom Sani Goy today? Yeah, you can answer.
Okay,
good boy. Who did you have in mind?
Nothing.
Good, honest, brilliant, good. No, Shalom Sani Goy, you're celebrating the fact that you're not a Goy, you're celebrating your Jewishness. Which guy did you have in mind? Did you say Shlo Sani Goy?
Gardener.
Your gardener? Very good. Okay. Yeah. Anybody? Any other suggestions?
Jacob Zuma.
That's worse than your gardener. You see, there's a problem with that, right? Because it's hard to understand that the ancient Knesset HaGadolah gave us a bracha to celebrate our Jewishness, and we're celebrating the fact I'm a little bit better than my gardener. I'm prepared to die in order to be me and not my gardener. There's a problem with that, right? Why are you choosing the worst goy? When you say Shlo Sani Goy, and you're celebrating the fact that you're not a goy, why choose the worst goy? So who should you choose?
Who's the best goy?
Choose the best goy. Oh, so who's the best goy?
Obama.
There's not much difference between him and your gardener anymore either, by the way. That used to be nice when it was Bush, yeah? Today you've got a problem. Yeah, the President of America, the Queen, yeah. So the greatest guy is the President of America, yeah? Or the President of China today, depends how you see the political movement moving. Yeah? Or the President of Saudi Arabia, I don't know, wherever you want to go, but like, who really controls the world today? The best guy is the guy that... Okay, fine. So can I try and focus your attention for 2 minutes, if you have any left? Yeah, who did the Torah say was the best guy?
Noah.
Oh! Simon's got up fast, eh? You see what happens when you're dumb next to me when you're a kid? Back in the oval? Yeah, you see, yeah, it sticks. Noah tzaddik. The Torah testifies to the fact that Noah was a tzaddik. Noah was the greatest guy that ever lived and ever will live. Got it? Okay. That's introduction number one. You say Shelo Sani Goy, you're thanking Kosh Bolchu for not making you a Noach Tzadik. Now let me ask you a question. Why are we not a Noach Tzadik? I mean, physically I am descended from Noach, right? Through Shem. So why am I not a Ben Noach? If you make a neder, not to get benefit from a Ben Noach, you can get benefit from a Jew. That's the Loch in Hilchus Nedari. How come? Why am I not a Ben Noach? How can I say Shelo Sani Goy when I'm talking about Noach Tzadik? Why am I not descended from Noach Tzadik? I am, so why am I not a Noach Tzadik? Who messed that one up? Simple Jewish history. So the Rambam says, until Noach Tzadik, all the generations angered Hashem, including Noach Tzadik, until who came along? Avram. Until Avram Avinu came along and took all the schar of all of them. Okay. So let me ask you the following question. When Avraham Avinu came into the world, there were essentially three main spiritual pathways that he could have followed. Heard of Nimrod? He was number one. What was his dynamic? So I'll tell us, he was Makiras Boyre, he recognized his creator. The Moirid Kenegdoi. And it was Moirid Malkus. He went to war against him. Lelachem Kenegdoi. He went to fight Hashem. Which means Nimrod knew there was Hashem. Nimrod understood there was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he went to war against him. The Dora Flogger, the Tower of Babel, that was Nimrod, yeah? Today they make shoes named after him in this country. Nimrod shoes. The greatest Rosha that ever lived was Nimrod. All the Rishonim that came afterwards all had a piece of Nimrod in them. So you understand, Avraham Avinu didn't want to go down that path, right? That's not the way we want to go. Who else did he have? He had his father. He had a Masorah from his father. What was his father? His father was a philosopher. He invented religions. He made idols, and he was a Baal idol worshipper. The greatest that ever lived. He was the real deal. He was the archetypal Baal Avodah Zorah that ever lived. And we know what Avraham Avinu did to that, yeah? He smashed all of them. That wasn't for him. That we understand. That's not hard to understand. But let me ask you, what was wrong with Noach? Why did Avraham Avinu go with Noach?
Was he the third part?
That was the third part. Noach Tzadik. Why didn't Avraham Avinu go with Noach? Yeah, okay, Noach's not functioning as well as you want him to. So upgrade, be a better Noach Tzadik. Take Noach Tzadik and become a better Noach Tzadik. But what, you have to make a whole new, not just a whole new religion, but a whole new entity in the world called the Jew. That's the word we use today. Yisrael Eved Hashem, that's really the term you have to come up with. Maral says there's five levels of Bria. Yeah, there's Doimem, stones. There's Tzomeach, plants. You know, tomatoes, yeah? And ketchup. We use tomato sauce, you guys use ketchup. You know what the difference is? You use tomatoes. We use tomatoes. So that's Tzomeach. Then you have Chaya, the animal life, and then you have Medaber. That's Noach Tzadik. And then you have a thing called Yisrael Eved Hashem. That's the level above that. That's what Avraham Avinu grabbed hold of and created, a thing called the Yisrael Eved Hashem. What was wrong with being a Noach Tzadik? What was lacking in Noach? That's not my question. This. The Ravid asked this question on the Rambam. When the Rambam brings down that there were Esedoyers, Adnoach Tzadik, and they all angered Hashem until came Avraham Avinu and took the schar of all of them. Ask the Ravid, what are you talking about? Well, what was wrong with Noach? What was wrong with Shem Va'eva? You heard of Shem Va'eva? He was the Rebbe of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. They all learned in his yeshiva. It's very nice. You reject the guy, then you go learn in his yeshiva. It's a nice thing to do. You eat his food and you know. Yeah, you live in his yeshiva, you eat his food, and then you say, no, we don't want anything to do with you. Yeah, stomach goy, we're not interested in you. That's not nice. Yeah, what's going on here? Avraham Avinu rejects Noach's path, and then he sends his kids to go learn in the guy's yeshiva. That's not very mentioned. Did it work on your midas as well? And I'm serious, well, what did Noach do you? I mean, what did Avraham do you? Let me ask you another question. What did Avraham Avinu teach the world? What's the big thing that everybody says Avraham Avinu brought to the world? Chesed. Yeah. But before that, God, one God. Monotheism. Yeah? Big word, huh? Monotheism. What's monotheism? It's the opposite of stereo. Mono is one, stereo is two, yeah? But it's not true. Because Noach knew about one God already. Noach knew Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon for sure knew about one God. And Avraham Avinu met Noach, and Noach knew Adam. So Avraham Avinu would have learned about it from Noach. Shem Va'eva knew about it. They came before Avraham. There were Nevi'im around. There were people that knew there was one God in the world before Avraham came along. So what did Avraham Avinu give the world? Well, what's his unique...
He taught
the world about one God?
Yeah.
He talked about the world, but it wasn't his Chiddush. They knew about it already.
Okay, but he was around to speak.
Oh, excellent. You know who says that, Pshat? When the Ravid asks the Rambam, what are you talking about? There was Shem Va'eva, there was Noach, whatever. Says the Kesef Mishnah, you know the difference between Avraham Avinu and Noach was? Avraham Avinu was Machriz. Noach knew it. That's the only difference, by the way, that's the only difference the Kesef Mishnah says. The only difference he finds between Noach and Avraham was that Noach wasn't Machriz, he didn't go out and advertise it, and Avraham did. Shem Va'eva sat in their Beis Midrash and they taught Torah to everybody, come learn. The Vakashah, the doors are open, you want to come learn, but they never went out. I'll tell you a Moedikah thing. Shem Va'eva Masama Vibik Schar in Olam Haba. They taught Torah to Yaakov Avinu 14 years. He never slept. There was a good yeshiva they had. They got a big Schar in Olam Haba, but there's no one that's a Yid today because of them. There's no Yid in the world today because of Shem Va'eva. The only Yid we have in the world today is because of Avraham Avinu. What did Avraham Avinu do? He went and he taught the whole world about Hashem. That's Yiduah. Yeah? Now let me ask you a question. That's really what I want to get to. Why did Avraham Avinu Machriz and Noach didn't? By the way, I'm not telling you this because I want to teach you history. Let me just stop for a minute. You got the question? What was the difference between Avram and Noach? Avram went out and screamed, Shema Yisrael, hey guys, there's one God. And I went, no, just carried on building his little ark. And Shem ever carried on learning in yeshiva and didn't bother going out. Well, what's the difference? What drove them? But I just want to point out something why this is relevant to us. It's not just about Jewish history. History is not my game. There's a wonderful class, and I don't know if they have it, Eshet Torah, Ken Spiro. His history class at Eshet Torah. That guy blows your mind with history. That guy's a, I'm not a historian. I don't know about history. So why am I telling you this? Because you need to know this. You know why? Because Hashem says to Avram Avinu, this is just in brackets on the side while you guys are thinking about Makasha. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Atah HaChosem. You know what that means? You're going to be the signature. You're going to be the bottom line. Before Mashiach comes, the generation is going to be an Avram Avinu generation. And therefore, to survive and to be productive before Mashiach comes, which is where we're holding now, you're going to have to know what it means to be an Avram Avinu. Being a Yitzhak and a Yaakov is not going to be that helpful for you. You're going to have to get in touch with what it means to be an Avram. You have to learn Avram's ways. So that's what I'm telling you. This is not just some about Jewish history. Each Jew needs to get in touch with the Avram Avinu inside of himself to know how to survive the days that we're heading towards. Got it? Okay. So why was Avram Avinu Machriz and Noach Tzadik wasn't? Any clues? You guys should know this already. You heard this speech before? Poor guy sits through this all the time. No. Okay. So let's try to understand first, to answer this question, give him some more coke, the caffeine levels. To understand the answer to this question, you have to go back one step. And that is why did Avraham Avinu reject Noach's path? So let me tell you something very, very profound. If you learn nothing else on this trip while you're here, you take this with you, you'll have been worthwhile coming to Israel. It's not me, I'm just giving up what I heard. Stop learning the phone. Sorry. Apologize. Do you know what this is? You seen one of these before? It's a cell phone. Yeah. Do you know what to use it for? You know what the purpose of this thing is? Telephone. Yeah, you know what it, yeah. So you know what the purpose of this thing is?
Cool.
Yeah? This thing, you know what the purpose is? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, this. You know what the purpose of this thing is? Yeah? What about this thing? Yoni Levine, what's the purpose of a person? See how many chickens you can eat while you go through 120 years of life? Yeah. Okay. Noach Tzadik understood that you have to do what Hashem says. It was obvious to him, right? Hashem was big. Hashem created the world. Hashem was everything. And he was a little guy. And Hashem came to him and said, build an ark. He said, build an ark. Hashem said, get on the ark. He got an ark. Hashem said, take all the animals. He got an animal. Don't seek for your feed all the animals. No, so he does all that. Why doesn't he go out and shout, hey guys, look what's going on here? Because Noach doesn't understand that he's supposed to have a relationship with Hashem. He's supposed to give something back to Hashem. I'll explain what I mean. Noach said he doesn't understand that. Advertising. You've got to sell the product. The product's irrelevant. It's the marketing that counts, yeah? The between us, okay? The point that Noach Tzadik doesn't understand is he doesn't understand something about himself which would give him the ability to reach out and have a relationship with Hashem. Clear? Not a clue. Okay, try again. If you're a piece of plankton, you know what that is? Whale food. Living out in the Antarctic, yeah? Microscopic little bit of fish. Swimming in the cold seas of the North Atlantic, yeah? Being eaten by whales. Yeah? If you decided one day you wanted to have a chat to somebody living in New York, a human being, would you bother? No, because what's the question? I'm going to have a relationship with a human being when I'm a little piece of stuff floating around in the sea that's going to get eaten by a whale any minute? I'm going to have a relationship with a guy in New York. Well, I can't now understand that he has to build and initialize a relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu because he thinks he's a little piece of plankton. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the creator, infinite creator of the universe. Yeah? So how did Avraham Avinu come to think that he could do that? What did he understand that Noach didn't understand? He understood that he wasn't a little piece of plankton. He understood that he has within him a piece of that infinite godliness that he could connect to, and by connecting with that, he connects automatically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is bad news for us, because we all have that peace inside of us. And you have to get in touch with that peace inside of you. Because if not, you stay in Noach Tzadik, and you never upgrade to being a Yisrael Eved Hashem. Notice this. About to get switched off. Yeah? If I know who I am and I understand where I came from, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into me a neshama, which is a part of Him Himself, then I have a part of that infinite godliness within myself and I can activate it and use it to become great. And part of being great is having a relationship and giving to Hashem. Questions, comments, reactions, up to now. I'm going to take one more step and you can go. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah? Yeah?
You say one thing.
Can I ask you one thing? No, I stopped because I want to hear what you have to say. Questions, comments, reactions.
But don't you say that also about Noach? I mean, that Noach wasn't actually the same as Avram, because Avram, why were there no Jews that came from all these people that Avram converted? Why is it only Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and there's the other people at the...
What happened to the guys he converted? Excellent question.
So we said, don't say because they, because he didn't come, because he converted them out of force. He told them that if you come and eat at my house, you have to...
Yeah, so he wasn't the best kiruv worker.
Wouldn't he be the same as Noach?
Yeah, but you see that he did go out and try, whereas Noach didn't. The question is, why did he reach out to Makar? I haven't answered that question yet, by the way. I haven't answered my question, why did Avraham Avinu be Machriz and Noach didn't? I've just taken the first step. First step to answering that question is to get the structure clear. Why did Noach not scream out and Avram did? Your question is Avram didn't do a very good job. Okay, fine. Some Akasha. That's the question that has to be understood. How did Avram Avinu not do Kiruv properly? If you're going to do Kiruv, at least make sure the guys stay from. That's my question today. How come the guys who Makarov 20 years ago, their kids are coming back to the Balchuvi Yeshivas? Yeah? Today they've got a shear now. I saw Ramonacha Beck from Gateway giving a shear adults at risk. It used to be teens at risk, you know, that's adults at risk. No, unfortunately, it's funny, but I also laughed when I saw it, but it's quite scary. Like, we're also not doing the best job, you know, like the guys we must carry also going off the derech. What's happening here? That's a serious question we're going to be asking ourselves. We have to face up to those questions, okay? Spend $150 million a year doing Kiruv, and 20 years later, where's it gone? Why is it not sticking? Okay, the answer to that question is because there's a thing called Bechira in the world. There's a thing called Bechira in the world. And you can only take a guy so far. Then he has to use Bechira. And some guys are not going to choose. Some guys are. Well, why did Avraham Avinu bring up a Yishmael and a Yitzchak? Because Yishmael had Bechira. And Esav had Bechira. And they could have chosen differently. And we can all choose differently. That's another subject. You have to come back. Then we'll talk about Bechira. If you're not coming back, at least take out a Rebbe and learn about Bechira. Because that's the only thing you've got in this world is Bechira. Everything else is just given to you. And the only thing you have that's you is your Bechira. So use it properly. Okay, but that's Tamakasha. The question I'm asking is why did Avraham Avinu, what did he understand that forced him to go out and do Kiruv or to be Machriz, and yet Noach didn't? So the first step I said is Avraham Avinu understood something about himself and his relationship with Hashem. Yeah, what was that he understood? He understood that Hashem loves him and he loves Hashem. He understood that he and Hashem have a love relationship because they come from the same thing. They come from the same source. Me and Hashem come from the same place ultimately. Because my neshama is a part of Hashem Himself. Okay, the next step. If you love somebody and you care about them and they're important to you, then what's important to them becomes important to you. Correct? What is love? If it's important for you, it's important for me. So if you know how much Hashem loves you, then you know how much Hashem loves everybody else. And you see that nobody else is interested in Hashem. and it kiviyachol, so to speak, causes Hashem pain that the people aren't interested in him. So obviously you're going to go out and makarim them and bring them back. I'll give an example. Let's say you've got a very good friend, and he's got a son who's like whatever, he's a nudnik, he's not interested in his father, and there's like a lot of bad vibes between the father and the son, yeah? You wouldn't want to go make peace between the father and the son because you love the father? That's what you would do, right? So that's why Avraham Avinu went out and was machriz, because he loves Hashem and he sees all these people and it's hurting Hashem, it's upsetting Hashem. So Avraham Avinu says, you've got to make peace. You've got to make peace between the father and the son. So that's why Avraham Avinu goes out and is machriz and Noach tzaddik's not, because Noach says, Hashem's got nothing to do with me. Hashem's up there in the Shemayim, he's a big guy and he's running the world. I'm going to do what I've got to do. I'm a soldier, I've got to do what I've got to do. But that I can have a relationship with Hashem, that Hashem's interested, that I've got anything to give Hashem, what can I give Hashem? So I've said something a few times, and you should be throwing stones at me for bringing up Epicurus, because we know that you can't give Hashem anything. Hashem has everything. Hashem's infinite. What are you going to give Hashem? So this is really what I want to leave you guys with. And this is a very, very powerful tool, this, and you should take it with you and use it well. I'm running through this fast. The Ramchal says this at length. There's something very powerful you can give Hashem. Very, very powerful, and I'll show you what it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to give us pleasure. Yeah? The ultimate pleasure is Him Himself. What's the greatest pleasure there is? Is Hashem. There's nothing greater good than Hashem. Hashem wants to give you good. What's the ultimate good? Hashem Himself, right? But there's something lacking if you get it for free. It's called the bread of shame. When you get charity, it's not so nice as if you work for it. If you work for something and you get it, it feels great. So Hashem had to cook up a system that you're going to earn the good. He's not going to give it to you for free. But He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you like nobody's business. He wants to give it to you because that's His tether. He wants to give. But if you don't earn it, He's not going to give it to you. So what can you give Hashem? You give Him the ability to give you. That you can give Hashem. That means doing mitzvahs and learning Torah and keeping the mitzvahs and not doing aveiras is not about being a good boy or a bad boy. It's about choosing to give Hashem the ability to give me the pleasure that He wants to give me. Let me tell you a story while you swallow this one. Rav Tauber told me, he was once doing, he does these seminars, right? Go away for 3 days, teach God Torah. One Friday night, late Friday night, he was sitting schmoozing to a bocher. He looked like the bocher might have been from once, he'd gone off, whatever, he wasn't sure. And they're schmoozing, 2 hours late into the night. After a while, the bocher excuses himself. He wants to go out for a while. He says to Rav Tauber, I'm going to go out for a while, yeah? So Tavin says to him, where are you going? So he says, listen, I need a cigarette. I can't smoke in front of the Rav, it's Shabbos, yeah? So I'm going to go outside and have a cigarette and I'm going to come back. So Tavin said, he's stuck now. What do you do? You let a Jew go smoke a cigarette on Shabbos? you can't do that. To tell him, don't go smoke a cigarette, you lose the kid. You're not going to listen to you afterwards. So what do you do? So he said, you ask Hashem, help me. What am I supposed to do? So they got a Gevaldik Echad, listen to what happened. Hashem put in his head the most amazing insight. He said to this kid, let me ask you a question. If you had one cigarette left, yeah, and Hashem came to you and said, please can I have your last cigarette, would you give it to him? No. Anybody else smoke? Who smokes here? Yeshua is a chosen. He still smokes. Alright. If Hashem asked you for your last cigarette, Erev Shabbos, you know that last cigarette before Shabbos comes in, Yarugval Yarba, if you don't have a cigarette, that's it, you know, you're not going to survive, yeah? Or even worse, Motze Shabbos, the first cigarette after Shabbos, you know what I'm talking about? Hashem comes to you as you're about to light that first cigarette after Shabbos, he says to you, can I have your last cigarette, would you give it to him? Okay. Ben's just visiting for the day, okay? He thought he wasn't, but after that comment... What's it, one day's notice, man? So would you give Hashem the cigarette? So the bocher turned around and he said, listen, if I really knew Hashem needed cigarettes, of course I'd give it to him. So Tauber said to him, do me a favor, give Hashem the cigarette you're about to go smoke. What's pshat? Hashem doesn't want me to smoke. Why not? Because He wants to give me the pleasure, the benefit, the goodness that He wants to give me by earning the goodness because I didn't smoke on Shabbos, right? But He can't give me that pleasure because I'm about to light a cigarette. And built into the system is you have to earn it. I can't give it to you for nothing. Hashem wants to give it to me. Even if you smoke the cigarette, Hashem wants to give you the good you deserve. But He can't, because that's not the ultimate good. The ultimate good is you've got to earn it. In order to earn it, you have to be able to not earn it. So Hashem says, do me a favor, don't smoke that cigarette. You know why? Because I want to give you the pleasure. I've got a whole, infinite world of pleasure for you. Just don't smoke that cigarette on Shabbos. So when you don't smoke the cigarette on Shabbos, it's like you're giving Hashem the ability to give you pleasure. That's the struggle to do mitzvah and not to do avodah. That's what it's about. It's not about the guy with a big stick and a bash you if you do, and give you a sweetie if you don't. It's for 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. But as you get older, you've got to see things a bit differently. That's what's going on in the struggle to do or not do what Hashem wants us to do. You're alone in a room somewhere, yeah? And with one button, you know, you push one button today, you can go, who knows where you can go today, yeah? You know what I'm talking about. They've got machines there, you push a button, you go to Gehenna straight. No, don't pass. Go, don't care. Boom, straight into Gehenna, yeah? They got them in South Africa, no. My kids, they got them in their bedroom. You know, the machines, you plug it into the wall and the whole sewage comes in, you push the button, and suddenly you're drowning in Gehenna.
Yeah.
Yes, it's just they moved them into the bedroom now and they call it Microsoft.
Gehenna.com.
There used to be Shanks, I remember in South Africa the toilets used to be called Shanks, and they're now called Microsoft, yeah. Dell. IBM. They've upgraded the sewer, yeah. No, but it's a real Nisoyan today. The youth of today, you guys have got a big Nisoyan. They're a big, big problem. If I wanted to be annoyed to boy when I was growing up and watching television, I had a problem, right? Because it was this big, you know, it was a big box and whatever, it was in the middle of the lounge. You couldn't switch it on without anyone knowing. Today, it's like, you know, it's the size. In the palm of your hand, the whole world. That's it. For the whole world. You got the egghead buses, free Wi-Fi. Off you go, eh? Yeah, check. Oh, there are buses today, the egghead buses in Yerushalayim today. I've got free Wi-Fi. Not all of them, but they're busy doing all of them. You come back next year. 4 shekel 90, you're on the bus, you can drive around the whole day. So, you understand that it's so, you're all alone today, guys. You're all alone today. Yeah, you see why you've got to come to Yeshiva? With that, you're not going anywhere. No, that you can talk on. I'm not teaching you bad. A person's all alone. There's enormous nisoyin, not possible. You're all alone. Enormous nisoyin. What do you do? There's a real problem, man. I don't know what's going on out there. I've also got 15-year-old living in my house. It's not simple. How do you not push the button? So if it's about good and bad, fine. If it's about, hold on one second, Akash Bochu, you yell with me. Hashem, yell with me. You know what, Hashem? Yeah, I'm giving you this. You take it. You can have it. I don't want it. You take it. I'm giving this to you, Hashem. I'm giving you the ability, I'm giving you the pleasure Hashem is giving to me. That you have to drill this consciousness into your head. And that's the difference between Avraham Avinu and Noach Tzadik. Avraham Avinu understands that I have something to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a relationship, there's a brit, there's a covenant. What's Judaism? It's not a religion. Nothing to do with religion at all. It's a covenant, it's a brit. Klal Yisrael entered into a brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a covenant. I give him, he gives me, we have a contract. That's what Judaism is. We have to fulfill our side of the contract, we have to fulfill his side of the contract. Questions, comments, reactions. Well, the door's never locked. Anytime you want to ease out. Anything to say? This is old hat, you've heard this before, right? This is old news. They teach you this at, where do you go to school? They teach you this? Thanks for coming, guys. I want to thank Shane very much for organizing this. Get together. You can go. Don't forget your bag. Don't forget your stuff. Where the pack? We just got some stuff here. Just there's a video of the yeshiva and there's a.